Now, okay, I want to, right up top, I got to get into something. I don't know if I'm pissed as shit about it or what exactly I'm feeling about it.
Pissed out of your ass?
But I might be pissed out of my ass about this. Truly, truly. Joey and I have been trying to be good about and basically treat doing the podcast like a job, meaning that we record at the same time every week. And sometimes when we're being really good boys, we get ahead of, you know, the schedule, right? And we bank some episodes. But doing
are you talking
that,
to me or who are you?
I'm explaining that gotcha. to the you all know right. the audience.
Gotcha.
But because of that, this time when our last,
so you don't want me to listen to this?
I would prefer that you just keep those fucking ears shut.
All right,
because that's starting to definitely piss out of my ass. Now, but what has happened is that because we recorded them out of sequence last week's episode, we are still talking about the strike as though it's ongoing. In fact, it ended. It ended that with the Wednesday that we actually recorded it, you guys.
The Wednesday that we recorded ended.
So it's all fucked up, you guys.
Well, but now we can say The Mummy.
I know. No, the freedom that we are experiencing now and that the ears of the audience are going to experience
yeah.
is fucking insane.
It's insane. It
we
really
can
is.
Finally be ourselves again. We've been in gray. We've been in Pleasantville for the last 6 months.
It's crazy because I don't.
We haven't made a reference to anything in the mainstream.
Is there a harder job than being an actor? No.
Is there a harder job than being a podcaster? Absolutely not.
And then you say that one of those jobs has to go on strike?
No, sir. And then you say other ones too, and we can't even talk about the fun stuff?
It's confusing. It's hard. We're simple people.
And now what have we done? We've fucked up the timeline, you guys. Now it's all out of whack.
That could be good, though.
No, but it's not a Marvel thing. Hey, we don't have mathematicians working with us.
You just shut the fuck up. You shut the fuck up for a second. You said earlier, last week, I know we were on strike, but now we're not on strike, that you were going to be supportive and you were going to get my
ass. But for the listeners, that's 2 weeks ago
then
now.
Then that's fine then, bud.
My point is the whole temporality is all fucked up, and this isn't a Marvel franchise. We don't have mathematicians making the math make sense.
And we can say Marvel franchise, asshole.
Because we love the actors and we love the writers and everyone's free now.
They're free.
Okay.
Brie Larson.
Brie Larson.
Say that.
Lessons in Chemistry is her show on Apple TV that I will not be watching.
I don't have Apple Plus.
And I don't care.
I don't have it.
You could get it. You could ask around. On any text thread, you could ask around. People will give it up.
Don't have it.
No, but maybe it's a little trickier with an Apple ID.
I feel like you got to put the watch next to the TV for it to go, and I don't have one of those.
Mm-hmm. And it's tracking your heart rate, and if the rate goes up, it knows that you stole that watch, and that's not your ID.
I guarantee that when the watch knows that you're watching one of the Apple shows,
what?
Knows you're watching the Apple show,
but
it
who
tracks.
But who watches the watch?
The AI.
Oh, yes. No, there is an answer to that. You're right.
Boys, you're fucking AI
Siri.
Robots.
Siri's watching.
So, and then they like track your heart rate and like knows like, oh my God, you've been like, you're like, oh, that's elevated. They like know those metrics. They're going to put that into like another scene, another like episode.
You're just trying to blow by metrics mispronunciation there.
No, I'm not. I said it
No, the panic in your eye was fucking insane.
Metrics. Let me tell you.
But the way you tried to blow by it honestly pisses my ass.
You didn't want
not to
me
overuse
to
the phrase.
Let me just say this. You can't overuse it, okay? Because there's enough pissing and ass to go around. What I'm saying is metrics is messy metrics, okay? Metrics that are hard to understand and compute. That's why you need AI to do it.
This is one of those sociopaths on trial. You know, this is on like a Netflix documentary where they're zooming in as you're seeing, oh, I guess that charm worked when he wasn't on trial.
No, I do have a Netflix account.
Yeah, nice.
Welcome to You Know What I Would Do, the podcast where Mike's going to drink about 80 different things throughout this episode.
Joey and Lauren forbade me from bringing a fourth beverage out today.
They're all insane. They're all just a cocktail in your tummy that's going to make it explode. I don't get it. I feel like one beverage is doing one thing, another is doing another, and you got so many uppers and downers going on. Downers! That like it's just difficult to be around
here. Yeah.
So this podcast obviously deals with a lot of issues that are pressing.
This advice podcast.
This advice podcast, 100% legal. And if you have any questions about what we're doing, I don't know if you saw the Instagram, but we had somebody try to like fact check me.
Whoa, I didn't see that.
Yeah, somebody tried to fact check my ass.
About what?
About Polyphemus. And like, oh, that's Poseidon and Medusa. Yeah, Medusa was his side piece, but like da-da-da.
I didn't see that.
It was pretty toxic.
Because I still can't log in on that account because the password you gave me is not right.
It is right.
It's not right. I can't log in. Never logged into the email. And I've been thinking I have to get into that email.
Good luck.
Because I know everyone, if they listen to the podcast, I know they want to get to you. You're the fun, and I'm the grunt, you know? And so the fact that the email goes right to you, youknowpod@gmail.com, is right to Joey, right to the source of the fun. I know everyone's doing that, but I do feel like you need parental supervision.
Maybe.
I feel like I got to be in there, because it occurred to me in a panic last night. I was driving home from downtown LA. In a panic, it occurred to me that you are responding to these emails. Yeah. That really scares me.
But I do it for both of us.
No, exactly. So, it's really, really scary to consider.
So whatever is being said is like you're a part of.
I had to pull the car over and just breathe when I was... Yeah.
So we have an audience doo-doo, right? This individual had emailed at us. And if you want to email at us, you can at youknowpod@gmail.com. And do so, as you just heard... Mike or I will be responding.
I have never been able to get into it. He has one of those super strong passwords, so I have never been able to get in.
Yeah, it is super fucking strong, dude. Good luck breaking in it, because you're not.
Yeah, well, the computer auto-generated it. It's not like you came up with it.
My
it's like 100 keys.
My password can like squat 60K.
yeah. But it's groaning so loudly the whole time, and it smells like shit in the room, so everyone's like, he's farting. Sorry, he's farting when he goes down.
So I just want to say
this is a dirty-sounding episode. A lot of dirty visuals.
It's all right. I do want to say this. This is something that I've been telling people that I think it's very funny. Some people don't like it and they wanted me to stop. I got a new job, and in what I say is to get back at the corporate of it all is that I shitty and pissy inside my pants, but I still work an entire shift with it in there because I got a specific sew job that keeps it pooled in there that won't let it drip out.
Yeah.
And they're like, that's disgusting. And I go, it gets even worse because like to even really stick it to them, all that pissy and shitty gets inside the small little cuts I made around my hips.
Yeah. Well, I would say it's something to add to that as well is you should explain to them that the way that you have sewn this apparatus down there, it's only enough to hold exactly the amount of time that is your shift.
Right.
So if you go even one moment over and you start shitty and pissying, we're at capacity.
We're going to crest.
So they got to let you off because it's going to crest.
And I don't want them to because that's not fair to them.
Yes.
But it's my way to get back at them.
That's
how you stick it to people.
Very good.
Okay, here we go. Devin here, long time. Now, I'm not, for the record, I'm not Devin.
Yeah.
I'm reading this.
But the acting was fucking uncanny. I literally jumped in my seat. I thought Devin was here.
I appreciate that, because the last time I did an act out with somebody.
It was not good. Well, no, it was not good. It was not kind. It was very good. It was not kind.
You didn't let me get to it.
Well, you just made the person sound like a coward. They were so scared at work from front of back.
All right, here we go. You got it. Devin here. Again. That's not me.
And this it's a new Devin. The voice is totally different.
Because I want,
you didn't
Devin
commit to
here. Okay, here we go. Long time listener, first time emailer, capital E. Capital E. Love the podcast so far.
Might be German.
Always do this.
Yeah,
always
so
get this
far.
So far.
No, I think so far is a really good threat to have in there.
It is nice.
It's like it's Cold War parenting.
Yeah, it's like, all right, so far.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
On my recent listen to one of your episodes, I noticed Mike starting things off saying something to the effect of, today we're both really excited to just get right into things.
Yeah.
I thought, I think this is Mike's subtle way of manipulating Joey, keeping him focused and harnessing his manic energy. Mm-hmm. Surely a necessity, especially when keeping the podcast under 10 minutes. When the episode ended, one of the previous episodes I had been listening to started up, and Mike was saying essentially the same thing. As you can see, I'm a tattletale.
Yeah, he is telling on me.
Yeah, even as I'm writing this, I'm like, not cool, Devin, but I simply must tattle. What should I do? Remain a tattletale? Most times, I think no one likes it. Even the people you're tattling to, but...
True. That is true.
But he goes, but we need whistleblowers, etc., don't we? Yours, Devin from Canada, social insurance number, because I don't have...
Oh, Canada,
security.
A whole different vibe.
Yeah. 638-954-385. Different number, missing one. All right, so
I love that. Now let me say, I mean this 100%.
Yeah, say it.
I like to be tattled on because, and this is true, I have a sense always that I'm doing something wrong.
Yeah.
But I'm trying not to. I try to do everything the way I'm I mean, I can convince myself to do things all sorts of wrong ways. Okay. But my point is, if I'm doing something that is upsetting someone, or doing something wrong or whatever the thing is, I actually do like to be told on, because I do want to be corrected, because I don't want to do something wrong. And I would say that is, I don't know that I'm subtly manipulating you. I feel like I'm actively and overtly trying to manipulate you, but also maybe a little bit sometimes I'm saying it to amp myself up, because I know that we got like a Dover Demon type thing here, and I'm trying to convince myself that I'm excited about it. Joey, you're shaking your head. What's up?
Dover Demon was badass. You know it, dude.
No, but it was salvaged only by the fact that when we saw the pictures of it, it was genuinely really scary.
It was scary as shit.
If it wasn't so scary, then I would have said it was a really stupid topic.
No, Dover Demon is legit. I was hard to follow what you were saying.
Sure, I understand that. I have a manic energy today.
I love it.
Because we had an almost scheduling snafu where I thought that we were not recording.
Nobody gives a shit about that.
And then I'm thrilled that we are.
I know, me as well.
I actually am thrilled about it. But I do think tattletaling is good, but I do agree with you that it is like you always get in trouble for it. I feel like we see this in like mainstream things all
that.
The time.
I never said
No. That's what Devin said in the
But
in
I'm
the
not
email.
Devin.
I'm trying to believe that. I am trying to believe that.
It's like you got to separate the art.
I still have this looming suspicion that every email we get is written by you.
It's not.
I just do. I don't know. I just snot. Do. Snot. Sorry. Snot. Welcome to Nickelodeon. Snot. But I do feel like you always get punished for tattling. Like, I feel like that's a common trope. you and you are Devin. Because, I feel like we see it in things where someone, it's like, I feel like we see it in the military a lot. Someone tells on someone and then they're like, and then you got to do fucking 5 miles as well because you tattled or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's an interesting thing. I do feel like tattling, because also if you tattle on someone to me, I don't know that I necessarily have a negative reaction to that.
You got, I'm going to do, why don't you shut up? Why don't you process this?
Yeah, okay, yeah.
You got a lot going on.
I do.
Tattletaling is that. If that's what you're doing, you're tattletaling.
Yeah,
no one likes that.
Yeah, because it does. It comes with an implicit tone.
It's a
that
young,
you're going like.
You're also doing that for clout. Like you're doing that not to for the good of all.
Yeah,
tattletaling in that regard, you're doing it to malign that person, hurt them to get some points with the person you're telling. No one likes it. It's a brown nosing kind of game, right?
Yeah.
But if you are whistleblowing, or if you're going out there and like, if you're like. I think it's more so like confronting the person, stopping it from happening. That's different than going to a teacher or a boss and make, do you know what Mike just did? That's different.
Yeah.
Like to go up to that person and say, hey man, you got to stop doing
that. That's true. That's true.
So separate.
Yeah. It depends on if it's constructive, basically.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
So but the term tattletaling, we know it.
Yeah, it's
loaded,
pejorative. It's loaded.
Because we all went through that phase of our lives. Some of us are still in it.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us might be 30, 40, 50 years old, but actually be like in the fourth grade, fifth
That's
grade.
That's right.
You know
and some of us might be whatever age we are, but we have a prehensile tail. And our nickname in grade school was Tattletale. And so you're having a whole different reaction to it when you hear this conversation. And you're checked out because you're so pissed.
Oh, I'm so pissed.
Reliving your trauma.
Because the tail tattled. It's a noise it makes.
Exactly. I actually agree with that. That is a noise.
But I don't know what... Like I appreciate what Devin is doing, not me. In this email, because he's trying to say to you and to me two different things. He's telling me, hey, bud, check out every cue up. Every time Mike says that... Don't be engaged. Unplug.
Yeah, check out.
Get out as quick as possible. Get out as quick as possible.
Which is a form of Devin is kind of auto-flagellating. He's hurting himself with that.
I don't know.
Because he's going to make the podcast worse now, because now I'm not going to be able to trick you as easily. Worse.
I think if I get off more tangents in an episode, I think it's going to go a little better, bud.
Yeah, okay? I'm sure you do.
I think it's going to be more cohesive.
I'm sure you do think that, but I would call that thought a symptom.
I'd call that too. I'd call that a symbol.
Mm-hmm.
And for you, Mike... For you, Mike, what he's trying to tell you...
Or I guess
you,
that's a hi-hat.
It's still a cymbal.
Yeah, I don't know. No, I know, but mine, I'm saying the noise I did.
Sure.
No. I'm going to edit it out.
All right.
Or I'm going to add in more hi-hats.
Great. So what he's telling you, Mike, is he's telling you, he's like, hey, man, I know you're doing this. I'm spotting you right now. If you do it again, there's a target on you.
Yeah.
I'll come down from Canada.
No, I feel targeted.
And I'm going to
hunt
you down.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do something to your car. I'm going to do something to your shoes.
And I'm going to dress as some villain in Canadian lore that you know nothing about, so you don't even know to be scared of this guy.
But he's steeped in it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, for him, it's a big deal. For us, like, we don't
you show
know.
Up, you're dripping maple syrup, you're dressed as a hockey player, and you've got, like, a big machete. I'm like, that doesn't mean anything to me.
Okay.
It's kind of like Jason, I guess.
It'd also be, like, very hard to move in that.
Yeah, and because you're dripping, yeah.
The hockey outfit is just so cumbersome.
But even that being said, with the target on my back, it is still scary. I don't know that my knee jerk would be to be scared when Devin shows up at my house in the middle of the night.
I do feel like the maple syrup will cauterize any wound that the machete cuts.
That's actually interesting. Yeah, but it might give long-term bacterial damage.
Sure, you might turn into a tree or something. I don't know what actually is going to happen.
Which could be good.
So, Devin, this is what I want to say. This is what I would do about tattletaling and all that. This is what I want you to do. I want you to make it a core part of your personality.
Yes.
I want you to tattle and tail on everybody. Find anything and go up to their manager, go up to their boss and do that. I want you to be a big Yelper, bud. I want you to get on Yelp and I want you to tattletale. And look, I know it's going to happen. At a certain point, you're going to run out of actual things to tail on the tattle. So I want you to start making them up, okay? Mm-hmm. And I don't want you to make them too crazy. Make it real and grounded, all right? Because guess what? Take it from me, bud. The more fantastic you get, you make that your zero?
Yes.
Buddy, okay, well, we still got mountains to climb, all right?
I love it.
So keep it grounded. For instance, you're at a Starbucks. This individual made your coffee exactly the way you wanted it. You're in your car stewing. Why?
Urine? Because
you got a car. Yes, urine car, okay? The car's just made of piss, all right? You're in there stewing. Why? You got a car made of piss. You got a car made of piss. I'd be pissed too. All right. But really, you're like, damn, I got to make that tattletale go down. You go on the Yelp app, right? Because you got the app. It's just every time you look on the browser, do you want to look in the app? You got to go, yeah. And then you got to re-download it because you took it off. Because just have the app. Just have the app. So you're on the app. You're in there. You're at the Starbucks. Make sure it's the right location, right? And you're on there. And like, what happened with this barista? You're like, this barista, when they were making my coffee, because again, you're out of fuel. They made it the right way. You wanted to go, this barista who made my coffee, I liked it, but I didn't like it.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So keep it going like that.
Yeah,
because it's those little things.
That's
Devin.
What fuels the entire internet. Yeah. Do you ever know, sometimes I'll see a review on Yelp and it'll say all these really positive things, but then still give 2 out of 5 stars. Like, but
it
made,
but it was just because of an emotional reaction to that person.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything was
or
done.
Like, sorry, my standards are too high. Well, I love what you're saying. I love what you're doing. Here's what I would do, because I think what you need to do is you need to, I think tattletaling, the main problem is that it's happening like what feels like in secret. And so what you need to do is you should go up to the person that you're like, let's say I'm going to tattle on Joey. I say, and let's say that we like work at a restaurant together. I go walk up to you and I go, hey, Joe, can you come with me to the manager's office?
Sure.
And so you go with me. And the whole time you're acting so pleasant. And then you get in there and you go, Joey took a shit in his pants during work today.
What?
And then you just kind of surprise him with it.
You narc on my soju.
But in front of you.
but you narc on my soju.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I say it's spilling out everywhere.
And it wouldn't be because I still
it's beginning
still
of the shift
clock.
Probably. Yeah, because I think confront at the beginning of the shift. Because then you have to sit in it like Joey and his shitty pissy. You have to sit in it for the entire time that you're at work.
But that's the way to get back at the man.
No, exactly. Mine is too. Because what I want, I think that if you tattle on someone and then you get to immediately be away from them, or you tattle and they're not even there, that's the cowardly thing.
Right.
If you embrace it and you have to sit in it like it's Joey's shitty and pissy, then you've done a good thing.
Yeah.
So, Devin, I hope that helped.
Hope that helped, bud.
Okay, we got some topics today that neither of us are excited about, and I want to jump.
Come on, don't even just do that because of that fucking thing, dude.
What do you mean?
Come on, bud. Like, have some fucking candor.
Fine. We're both excited about this one, maybe Joey especially.
I am excited about this. So we got simple building. What is that? Okay, we're not talking about a building that's simple, dumbass. All right, we're talking about the idea of
building. But we actually kind of are, too.
Well, Mike,
it might
stop.
Be in there.
Mike, stop. Okay, we're talking about building things simply. You guys know what I talk about when I'm talking about the pyramids and all that ancient shit. Okay?
I just watched a flop sweat appear on Joey. His entire body shot it all out. It was crazy.
I love it. And I'm obsessed with people saying that aliens built the pyramids.
Yeah.
You know, all the different.
Yes. This began because I DM'd Joey something that was randomly in my Instagram. It was showing basically like one way that the Egyptians could have built the pyramids, essentially using water.
Yeah, which was around.
Yeah.
Water was yeah. around.
But sort of like using water to like the, I guess, potential energy of getting water to go up and down, and then using flotational type devices like wood to get the blocks to float up, mm-hmm. and then removing those.
Yeah, because we want to make that clear. Like wood is very specific because it's not like floaties or like inner tubes.
Yeah.
They didn't have those. Or if yeah. they did, that but that
the graphic kind of showed something that looked like that, as though they made some sort of rudimentary inner tubes.
Like flotilla or something like that? But
like from papyrus.
Probably from papyrus. It was all papyrus back then. So we're talking about this guy, Wally Wallington. I think he's from Michigan. Sound like a Michigander.
Yeah.
This guy was a former,
yeah, we just watched a video of him.
So this guy was a former construction worker and had built all these devices using stones and wood. That's it.
Yeah.
Just like sticks and stones, literally, to move like hundreds of tons of stone.
Yeah.
Or not hundreds, but I like think but it was like 19 tons.
The most he got up to was 19,000 or something. It was like insane. He was talking about moving whole buildings. It was it was actually genuinely impressive.
Insane shit.
I said it looked like he had recently gotten whatever it is that gave John Travolta, we're not striking, mm-hmm. Phenomenon power, you know?
From that movie, which, like, we can say.
Which we can plug all we want to. It's not a great movie. It's fine. It's fine.
But we'll still plug it.
Yeah, not a problem.
Because it's our goddamn right.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's my right now. Producers can't tell me I can.
But this guy, he kind of seemed like that. He felt like a real genius of engineering. It was pretty bizarre. Like, he was just doing it on his property. He's just like, this right here, this thing weighs 4 tons. I just get a stone under here and I can move it 500 feet. And you're like, it was amazing. It was actually amazing.
He had this device where he was able to just like push the stone down and it would roll on this kind of like wooden contraption.
Yeah, it looked like he was just rolling a child's like toy block.
It looked like it weighed nothing.
And then he goes like, that weighs 400 pounds.
You're like, okay. Like, and then he got like these, like, you know, now it's a 3-ton block. And he got a, like, it had like a stick on the top so he could push it.
Yeah, he did this little swivel motion.
And the way he moved it was he put a stone underneath it to mm-hmm. lift it up, which I'm like, wait, so this giant, whatever ton brick, doesn't like burst that stone? He's like, no, because you put it right in the center and that's how you balance it. And then you just move it and he rotates it.
Yeah.
And if he puts 2 stones underneath it, he can then move it like.
And honestly, if there's truly, when I think about the pyramids, when I think of like the ancient Egyptians, my main thought is they were very clever.
They were
very clever people. It just makes sense to me that they would figure that out. I also feel like having endless amounts of slave labor that you
it helps so cruel things.
To. Yeah, that's basically analog computers. Toss one of those guys in there to figure that out.
Well, they're all
terrible.
There are records of artisans and like really high class craftspeople that come in to do the job. So they paid people to who were like experts in the field.
Yeah, but when I was watching the video that I sent you on Instagram, I kept thinking like, oh wait, but how do they get those woods? How do they get the wooden stuff out of the water there to get the box to drop? There's slaves that they'll just let die to go get it.
OSHA did not exist. You know what I mean? There's no checks and balances to help people make sure, like, you know, no hard hats on that site. But you know, the Egyptians and all ancient peoples, heck?
Well, I mean, the notion, though, of simple building is also relevant to the notion of the ocean, is also relevant to, I love that show Alone, you know, some of our friends got me into it. I feel like, did you watch some of that? Or have you watched any of this? It's like the survival thing.
I'm familiar.
Well, a lot of that comes down to rudimentary building stuff, and it's all simple building is so fascinating to me.
It really is. Because I feel like, if you put me in the woods right now, would I survive 100%?
Yeah, you'd be fine. You'd have your PS5, you'd set up a D&B there, and you'd live at the D&B.
You'd be fine. I'd pretty much just have a home. In
the DMB.
Yeah.
And you probably want to build a whole city around it.
It'd probably be in New York if you're gonna put me in the wilderness.
Yeah, so not in the not in the Dave and Buster's. You build maybe like a really nice high rise next to it.
And then you're in the high rise
and you can go to DMB whenever you want to.
I can go anywhere I want.
And you're out in the woods.
I got the train, buddy. I got JFK right there. I can fly anywhere the fuck I want. What are you talking about?
Yeah, you're not stuck in New York City just because you live in the woods.
I'm in the wilderness, dumbass. Yeah. I'm trying to fucking survive.
Yeah, you're totally off the grid.
I'm off the grid.
Yeah.
Nothing connecting me except computers. Phones.
You got that smart ring to make sure when you're sleeping and everything and where you are.
I want to know where I am. Because I look at that ring and I go, I'm here.
You can look at any grid and know exactly where you are.
Well, because there's maps everywhere. Plus, I can talk to anybody.
But you're off the grid and you're in the wild.
I'm in the fucking wild, asshole. I don't know what's going on. There's bears and shit out there.
I really would not be able to survive in the wild. I really acknowledge this about myself. Simply would not be able to.
Yes, you could.
Well, it's weird because I just think about when I watch the show Alone so much. much of it is that they are eating things that they're catching and hunting.
They're doing that for the camera.
Yeah. Normally, they'd just be fine.
If the camera wasn't there, they would be eating burgers.
You're allowed... Lauren made my favorite joke since we watched that show, which was, you're allowed to bring 10 items with you, so people will bring, like, a thing, a flint to start a fire, whatever. Lauren just said she'd bring 10 candy bars. I just think that would be the greatest flex.
That's
you bring
really
not a single essential. People bring tools to build their you know, homes.
Yeah, 10 knives.
Yeah, you would just bring 10 PS5s.
I'd bring 10
no
PS5s.
Controller!
Oh, fuck! No adapter. I can't plug into any of the trees. It sucks. So this is what I would do about simple building. Yeah. And Wally Wallington, which I think is... what's his name? Is it Wally?
No, you got it right.
So this is what I would do. First off is I'd hit him up. I'd get his information from a local detective that I've hired to, like, you know, just scout out his whole vibe, right? Mm-hmm. It's all illegal. I can do this, okay? Local detective finds all the information for me, gives me that information, okay? Now, over the next 6 months, I'm going to be calling him around 2-3 in the morning, all right?
Yes.
Just to catch a vibe, right? See how he's doing.
You know him personally.
No, I don't. I've never met the guy.
But you, at a certain point, you're calling him enough. Like, do you develop a rapport, or is every time you're kind of shocking him and you're never giving him info about who you are?
I'm not going to divulge anything yet. Yeah. I mean, that's, I feel like, first off, rude. Secondly, why would I do that? That's scary that he knows more about me than I know about him, right?
Yeah.
So, like, any friend I have, I get, like, all the information I can before I introduce myself.
Yeah.
So, I'm calling him 2-3 in the morning for a couple months, right? Finally, one day, I get onto his property, right? Now, I'm wearing exactly what I said I would be wearing on the phone. I keep on, every time he answers, I go, hi. And I'm like, I'm the man in all red. I'm the man in all red.
Oh, that's great. That's terrific. So that is honestly terrific.
Get to his property and wear
and polite.
I'm trying to tell him, hey, buddy, when you see me, I'm the man in all red.
Yep.
So when I get there, I'm dressed all in red, obviously, right? Except my socks.
Honestly, not to be you and do a callback, but this is what Devin should do if they're going to hunt me down and kill me. Keep telling me about that Canadian, you know, fear creature, whatever, that you're going to dress as, so I know to be scared of it.
Don't ever apologize for a callback.
Well, I'm apologizing to myself.
Don't. It's a good thing to do. It's important to do. It's the memory elasticity.
Yeah.
It keeps you sharp. It keeps you on your tinsel toes.
Mm-hmm.
It's good, dude. Like, you want that, all right? So, I'm on the property, right? Wally sees me.
You're in all red.
All red.
Describe the outfit.
Red.
Sure, but are you, it's like a trench coat, a button up, you know, and then you got a tie, and you got a red shirt on, you got red slacks on, you got red Converse on, like... What is it, all red? You got a red. What kind of hat? Are you wearing a hat?
I don't wear hats.
Well, because I almost think to really accent that you're wearing all red, you want to wear a ton of red. Like, not just a red t-shirt and red shorts, right? Don't you want a ton of it?
I'm in all red.
But I want to get a fucking picture,
then
sweetie.
Then make one, bud. You're just talking about all these different kind of clothes. I can't wear all the single clothes at once. I can't wear a button-down, slacks, a trench coat, a tie.
You know why guys like you really piss me off?
Tell me.
Trying to set you up to give me more detail, and then you get mad.
Well, buddy,
but then you'll also complain if I interrupt you, because you got so much detail you want to get to. I'm giving you I misspoke, so now I lose a little bit of my power.
That's right.
But I'm giving you the space to explain more what you mean when you're in all red, but you refuse to give me that.
Explain. I am an all red.
You're okay? A piece of shit.
I'm head to toe, I'm wearing red. And for this scenario, it's a whole bunch of paint on my naked body.
Great. So Thank you. That's all I wanted.
Now I dumped a whole bunch of red paint on my naked body.
We never would have known that.
All right?
We never would have known that.
So now I'm out there butt naked, okay? I mean, in the crack.
Is it cold?
Yes, of course, dude. Yes. Okay. I mean, I'm at the beginning of February in Michigan.
Oh, shit.
Upper Peninsula. Like, it is cold, dude. Yeah. Okay, the hog is hiding.
And the paint is not giving you any warmth. All it's doing is locking up your pores.
Well, I actually have proprietary technology that the paint makes me colder.
Got it.
I am just freezing, right?
Yeah.
I can't even, by the time I get, like, you know, a couple steps on the property, I die.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're not going to survive.
When the ice finally thaws out and they find me, I'm encased in what is now a 600 million ton block.
Yes.
And guess who has to move me off? Wally Wong.
Wow. What an origin story that is. What an origin
Encino
story.
Encino Man, dude.
Yeah. Now, I have a similar thing, I would say, that I would want to do with Simple Building and Wally Wallinson. But I, Wallinson. Or Wallington. Wallington.
What's going on, man?
I don't know. I think I you know,
how
I just don't
know. How
many
drinks did you have before we started?
I had one LaCroix and I had 2 cups of coffee.
Oh my God. And he's got another cup of coffee, another LaCroix.
I got a
something
LaCroix.
Else, right? I
yeah,
another
yes, yeah, yeah. I have an Element water. It's
Element.
Mango chili. Mango
Element,
chili.
Sponsor us.
Yeah, oh yeah. Oh my God. If anything could sponsor me, that'd be great. I don't love your watermelon flavor though.
Okay, I'll have it.
Anywho, what I would do, because I'm trying to get in a better shape at the moment, And but I also want people to think I have survival skills. I really do. That really, I would love it if people thought that about me. But I don't want to acquire the skills. I really do not. So I would do a twofold thing. I would apply to get on a loan. And I would, one of my main items.
Apply to get a loan?
To get on the show alone.
Oh, gotcha.
But that's fair. That's fair. And yeah. I will probably need a loan.
Yeah.
I will probably at some point. Yeah. And so I go on there and I say, I have this bag and no one can look inside this bag. Okay. That's like one of my special items. It's just weights because I'm trying to get in a better shape.
It's going to hurt your back.
Well, yeah, but maybe I switch it to my front and I go back and forth. I'm trying to even it out because it is really, really heavy because what I have inside is Wally Wallington. And so the entire time that I'm doing alone, I got him crumpled up in my bag and he's down with this because he loves the challenge. Bag's basically the size of my body.
Did you fart?
No, I moved on the couch. But then the entire time I'm out alone, I'm wearing the bag and then I just keep going like, hey, Wally, what do I do now?
Take him out of the bag.
No, because I don't want the people on alone who are watching. I don't want them to know I got Wally there because it matters to my ego. It matters to my ego, but he's not a thing. He's a man. And so it matters to my ego that they think I'm figuring all this out myself. And then I just happen to wear this huge person-sized bag in my back.
You can get Thing 1 and Thing 2 shirts from Disney and you can put it on them and be like, he's Thing 1. You know?
And I appreciate that contribution. I think it's actually really helpful and constructive.
I feel like that's how you sneak that in. Because then, you got like, I'm grandfathered.
No, I'm definitely taking that note in.
You know?
Yeah, I'm going to really think on that for sure. But so then, I just have him with me on the show alone and I build a bunch of simple structures and I pass it all off like it's my knowledge. I didn't have to learn a thing.
That's amazing. So I imagine also there's a straw going from the bag to your ear where he can talk to you.
It depends on who develops the technology. That sounds like a fix that you would do. But to me,
there's a straw going from
But maybe he and I come up with some sort of like code where he's tapping on my back. Simple answers.
No, man, there's no simple answers in the wild, dude.
Because I think a lot of the time, like I would ask him like a series of questions before we go there to get
bag.
A shorthand.
No, you need
where
a straw.
I would say like tap once for put a stone under it. No. And so I always know if I got to put a stone under whatever the thing is.
You just know what the fuck you're doing, dude. Like, you need a straw.
But I'm talking out loud to the cameras, right? And I'm using that to trick them into thinking I'm talking to them, but I'm actually talking to Wally.
You need a straw from the bag that's in his mouth that goes up to your ear so he can tell you things. You need that.
Tap two times for it actually weighs 400 pounds.
You don't know that, though.
But maybe Wally does.
He,
I don't know any
he can't
of this.
See it,
I'm
dude.
A blank slate. I'm a blank slate out in nature.
Bud, I'm agreeing with you.
But you're not. That's the critical thing here. You are not agreeing with me. And actually, you battle me more than I battle you. I am always on your side.
I don't.
You are a bad guy.
I don't.
That's all I'll say. I say that as a friend.
I'm not. Listen, dude. You need a straw from his mouth in the bag going to your ear. Done.
Then give me a loan. And that's a Joey callback. Okay, now I want to go for something a lot more broad here, and I wouldn't even necessarily say I have a specific focus with this one. God, dude, the misspeaks I'm having today, it's too much coffee.
Slow down.
Yeah, but no, because if I slow down, that's where the cracks are for you to insert a diversion.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can't slow down. But the misspeaks, you're right, are serving as a similar diversion point.
Totally.
Yeah, it's not good for content. But so we're talking music.
If y'all could be here with us, he is spiraling.
I am spiraling.
It's a lot of fun.
I've had manic energy today. It's been manic. I've been awake for a little too long, and I've been doing a lot of cleaning today, and cleaning gives me some sort of mania.
I'm going to just say this out loud. Just don't drive today.
Yeah.
Just do the best you can to
I'm not driving today. I don't think I'm driving
today.
You're
fine. You're fine. Because you're going to make a lot of sharp lefts and rights. Music is something that I have recently started to really dig into in a substantial way, in a fulfilling way.
Meaning what?
That I'm branching out and offering different artists my ear to be like, all right, sway me. You
what
know?
Prompted this?
Hanging out with my buddies Danny and Kilby. You know Danny, and then Kilby's a mutual friend. Both of them are insane music heads.
That's true, because you know Danny through me.
Yeah.
And he and I became really good pals because we both liked this one obscure band.
So
that was the first conversation he and I ever had about it.
It's insane, their knowledge of music and their interest for it. It's not like,
yeah.
I like Drake. I like him. Whatever.
You are from the 305.
I am. And I will say that, my music taste
is bad.
Well,
is bad.
But they're predicated on the culture that exists around it. Like, the music that we listen to, was for the purpose of dancing.
Right? Yes.
So lyrics didn't matter. As long as there was a good bass line, you know, production.
Yeah, it was all
good.
About swaying your hips and then it quickly going from one super air-conditioned place to another and trying to get through the extreme heat in between the two.
Yeah, because you're sweating regardless.
Yeah, yeah.
You're going to get sick. You're going to get sick pretty quick. But that's what music was for me for a long time. It still is. I love, like, good beats. I just like something to move to. It's great.
Yeah.
But they would...
Because the Midwest experience with music, in my experience, is basically it's stuff to feel lonely to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a
because
lot.
Because it's never to dance.
No,
like,
no, no.
Or
no.
At least in whatever way I grew up. No. Yeah, the idea of dancing. Like, when I would meet people like you who you like only this, I was like, what?
Yeah, no, it's...
But don't you just put headphones on to, like, feel alone?
No, you have a giant speaker in your room and you blast the music and you dance. Like, it's like it's a different whole thing to it. But... They would pass along, they were listening to music, never heard this artist, right?
Uh-huh.
And then Kilby would be like, oh, yeah, I'm listening to them too. And then they'd go back and forth and they'd show me their Spotify, you know, whatever the music channel, you know, that they would have their page, the artist page. And it'd be like 800 listeners, you know, something like, I mean, this is like, these are, I'm like, what? They're like, oh, they're about to blow up. Like, and the music's fantastic.
Yeah.
But I don't dig like that. I don't get, you know, no one's
I'm always amazed by how people continue to find new and new
it's amazing.
And new stuff.
It's amazing. Yeah. And all the music was great and different. And there's actually this dude, Petey, who I found him through social media. He's a guy who like talks to himself. Yeah, kind of talk. He's like skinnier guy. Or whatever. He has an album. It's really fun. It's just
like
fun
talks movie. To himself as in like it's that type of acting out where they're doing like front facing comedy where it's two types of. That's what you mean?
Yes. Yeah. Like he's like in different clothes talking to himself. Kind of shit. His music is fun. And but I honestly was dismissive of it at first because I was familiar with him as like a social media personality.
Yeah.
And then so I was like, I'm not gonna.
Do you consider yourself to be musical?
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. I think rhythm is a huge part.
Uh-huh. And but you feel it like, well, I know because you play drums.
Yeah.
How long did you play drums for?
A year, like 2 years.
Something like that. Okay. But you like had a drum set and I mean, you were into it. You enjoyed doing that?
Loved it. Yeah. Loved it.
And did you feel like you made strides in your learning and stuff?
Yeah. Well, I had a bad instructor who made me choose football or drumming.
That's great.
And then I was like, well, that's football, great. It's more social. What the fuck are you talking? Yeah. So like that's why I stopped. I was like one of the worst teachers I've ever had in my
life.
Yeah,
that's really amazing.
And he was like trying, we were like getting into like competitions and shit. So I think he liked me. He wanted me to like take it seriously. I was like, I am, dude. I can do both.
Yes.
I don't know what the fuck.
Yeah, that's really odd.
It was super odd.
Yeah, that's just bad advice. It is weird how when you're younger, you almost feel like all advice is equally sound or something.
You don't
and you
have
go like that grown
though.
Up just told me that. So I guess, okay, I pick football.
Yeah.
There's no reason that dichotomy never needs to be made.
It's insane. Like I knew that I was insane too, but also not having the experience or the ability to be like, let me get another instructor.
Mm-hmm.
I want to keep doing this. But I was just like, no, it's done now. It's done.
I consider myself to have less of a capacity for music, like actually making it or playing an instrument than almost anyone I've ever met. Like, it's so not a talent that I have available
to me.
You have
many instruments.
Because I like to sort of, like, fiddle around.
Yeah.
I have a little bit of that. But I am bad at it. I was thinking the other day, like, you know what? I should just get rid of all of my instruments and just not do it. Because I never feel like... It's sort of similar to, like, language fluency, where I feel like true fluency is to be able to express the full range of your personality. Or, I mean, easier probably, but still incredibly difficult is to be funny in another language.
Yeah.
And to me, that's true fluency, whatever. And I feel the same way with instruments, where it's like, in order to feel that you are free on it, to do
funny.
Things and you understand things, whatever, that's the fluency. And it feels so out of range, no matter what, with any instrument that I've ever been into.
I think that's a fair thing. I think it's a really bold thing to be like, hey, I'm just not good at this. I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, yeah. That's like, I like it. But here's my main thought on music and everything. It is because of that.
Hey,
because...
bud, just keep it to music, not everything.
Very nice. Oh, sir, you are bleeding. Sir, your nose is bleeding. it is basically because I don't have a meaningful capacity within music or to create music. I feel it's one of my purest joys. Like I just love listening to it. Yeah. Or when I know someone who's a good musician, it's like it's amazing
to
me.
It's cool. It is like you get to see a superpower that you don't have. And like,
yeah,
it's, and also knowing like how long it takes to get to that like skill yes. level, et cetera.
But also some of it feels so innate where I'm like, you just really see it. Like it just, yeah. people who can just pick, I've known a lot of people in my life who can just pick up an instrument and just yeah, like play anything.
Let's not dismiss also like the years
the work. No, of course, of course. But I'm actually thinking of people from my childhood and stuff who could just hear it when they were also kids and they could just play a thing and they weren't even taking lessons. Mm-hmm. Like music seems to have a lot of that. I've been reading this book. I'm not done reading it, so it feels bad to talk about it. But I've been reading this book that's called Music. What is it fucking called? Music.
We don't know.
Math and Neuroscience. And it's like just all about how if you can't play it, if you can't play it.
Wow.
But it's no. Well, it was like, it was for something I'm working on. It doesn't matter. But it's super interesting. And a lot of it is about the way that music, like there are so many sort of like things that are all interceding or intersecting in the body. Like it's, you have your neurology, you have your actual physiology of how you're hearing things in your ear, how it affects your body. And, you know, then the ability of physicalization or coordination. And I'm not super coordinated, I feel like one of the weirdest things I experience with a lot of music is I almost never have the like urge to move when I'm listening to music. Mm. Like I'll hear something that it feels like everyone else is wanting to move to it. And I sort of, I just feel it in my head.
Weddings or something like that, like dancing. I think like there's a lot of shame that can be thrown on people. There's a lot of stigma to it. Like if you're not the best dancer.
Yeah.
I assume in growing up in Chicago, they're like,
The
people who were dancers were like, that's what they did. And like they cut a rug, et cetera. And like, they're like, that's how you dance. There was
in Chicago, it felt like it was all like precursor to like, or like a prelude to teenagers hooking up with each other was what dancing was. Like it wasn't
that's
about
what
like,
it is.
Like I wouldn't say that I knew a single person who was a good dancer. It was more like that they were like old comfortable enough. Grinding. You know, it was like, that's what my main instinct with dancing was. But then also having no instinct to dance myself.
You're not grinding.
And then the grinding seeming really scary as a result.
Yeah.
But also, it's the my main stress when I think about going to a wedding is, oh man, then like everyone's going to act like I'm weird if I don't dance, even though I just don't want to.
I hate wedding dancing because, and most of the music there I hate as well because it's like, I'm wearing an outfit I normally don't wear. The shoes are probably uncomfortable.
Yep.
I don't want to dance in this.
Yeah.
My knees hurt.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like this ain't the vibe.
But you love to dance.
I love to dance. I think it's fun as fuck.
Like I remember when you and Elizabeth first started dating, you would like go out dancing. And like the idea of that, I like can't even process what that would mean.
Oh, our buddy used to have like a music night at a bar and Paul and I would go out and just like from 7 till 2 in the morning, just dance.
It's so wild.
And just like sweat. I mean, drenched.
It's sort of one of those things, you know, I always talk about when someone has an interest in something that I don't have an interest in, but I feel kind of happy that they have that. Anytime you say you're going out dancing, I feel thrilled for you. Yeah. But then I'd also go like, don't you fucking dare invite me.
No, you know, you're like,
yeah. And you never did. And I really appreciated that. And that's my love language.
Yeah.
Not being invited to that kind of thing is my love language.
This is what I would do about music.
Yeah.
Okay. And on the same tip that I was talking about of like introducing music to different people, right? Like, there's so many great artists out there that are trying to get their shot and trying to do their thing. And, you know, it's so hard. Music industry is insane, et cetera. It's all the stuff that we know in the baggage that goes into any art. And what I would do is I would get a small town, right? We'll start there. We'll get a small town and I'll corral the 6,000 people.
Sure.
Right. And I
6,000 people you have in the small town that you created.
Small town. It's just, it's real. It's a real small town.
Oh, you're so, like, picking a small town. It's not like a Los Alamos kind of thing. Where was the Manhattan Project? That was Los Alamos.
So what I would do, like any town that has 6,000 people, whatever. And if you know a town that has 6,000 people, tell me.
So you're looking for a candidate town.
No, it's real.
And you're going to select a few of them based on the population density and the
size
of the town.
I'm going to get one, but I'm going to start there. Just a one. Okay, one town.
Let's just agree to agree.
Yeah. So we got one town that's got 6,000 people. It exists. It's a real town. I go there, right? Mm-hmm. I get all those people, right? And I tell them it's like a big event thing. They all got a show. And they're like, oh, what's going on? And I make this giant concrete.
You're an outsider and you managed to corral all those people.
Yeah, I got charisma, bud.
That's great. Okay? Yeah, yeah.
I got this je ne sais quoi, okay? Yeah. I got this ability to go into a small town with 6,000 people and tell them all to come into this concrete building that I just built and they're going to do it.
What is je ne sais quoi? What does that translate to?
I don't know. So I got all these 6,000 people inside this building, all right? Concrete building, right? I got them all in there. Now, one thing about concrete is that it's really throw sound.
Yes, you know what I mean? And not super breathable.
No, not at all. No. Yeah, yeah. And there's no windows. There's okay. no windows because I want to make sure it's like it's completely protected for its sound's purpose. Right?
Yes.
But the floor is porous, so air can come up.
Okay.
Okay. So think of like a giant grated floor. It's sure. reinforced.
And it's stuff from the earth, like the fumes from underground is what will be breathing up, right?
Air.
I'm not sure.
Air comes from underground. So they got, you ever been to a cave and there's a breeze? Where the fuck is that coming from? A dragon farting? No, asshole. That's the earth breathing.
Yeah, I don't have a ton of experience in caves. Well, I'm surprised to hear you do.
Then you don't know what I'm talking
yeah.
about. So
yeah, you're right. I'll just sit my ass down.
I got 6,000 people in this concrete building, okay? No windows, no ventilation, because the ventilation's coming from the floor. It's a porous floor. It's like a grated floor. It's like a little, like, you know, chicken wire down there. Reinforced. Everyone's in there. And what I do is I go to my music catalog that I have on my iTunes, Spotify, right? And which is probably tens of thousands of songs. Probably. I don't know.
I don't know that this is a relevant detail, but go on.
It could be less. It could be more.
Yeah, that's right? Why I said I don't know.
Yeah, but I'm just telling you.
It just doesn't necessarily matter. I don't
let
think.
Let me finish.
Just based on where I think the story is going.
You don't know where
but
it's
now
going.
That I've interrupted.
You don't know where it's going.
Uncertainty principle. Now that I've interrupted, now it's going to affect
and
it.
And I there's a raised stage. And I have noise canceling headphones, and I play the music, right? And I'm in a protected room with AC. I got snacks in there. I got shit ton of
pressure. And you're separate of the 6,000.
But I can see him.
Town people, okay.
I can see him. I got a giant window there, right? I got a giant window. I'm shirtless, and I play the track, and I play every single song one after the other. I just want to catch a vibe, see how they like each song. So it helps me curate
songs that you made.
No, that just I have any old on my
song.
Playlist.
Any old song. Okay, yeah.
Songs
yeah.
that I've downloaded.
No, I know. I'm just trying to make sense of why any of this matters.
So I'm watching them and I'm in my practices and I want to see how it works. Now, a lot of people are going to want to sleep.
Yeah.
I want to get through
this. How long is this? Get through this. That's interesting to hear that. How long is this process sort of meant to take?
Mike, I got 10,000 songs. Let's say each song is 4 minutes. Do the math.
Yeah.
How long is that?
It's a lot of minutes.
I don't know how long that is. A couple of days? I don't know. Weeks?
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
Who knows, right?
Yeah.
Who knows?
I just know how many minutes are in a year because that's how you measure love.
So some people are going to want to go to sleep, right? Well, I got to keep them awake because I want to get like a total.
Sure.
You know, this is my testing pool right here. So what I do is like underneath it from the grace, it's why there's holes there. Right. What I do is I got all these gremlins down there, right? Because they're down from the mines that when I was burrowing, like, you know, creating this, like.
You found, yeah.
found gremlins.
A pack. Yeah. Added a little bit of water.
And I can say that because we're not on strike anymore.
Yes. Okay? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. So it is. That is what I'm to visualize.
Gremlins.
Yeah.
And they're there like.
And it's when they get the ones that come from Gizmo or whatever.
Exactly.
Like when they're really scary and kind of scaly.
Don't feed them.
And they have
midnight.
Weird personalities and they're like into porn and smoking cigarettes and shit. Yeah.
Right. And they're underneath the grates with their sharp little like fingers poking at everyone's bare feet because no one's allowed to wear shoes in there.
Yeah.
So that keeps everyone awake. And I just want to get through the music to kind of really understand, hey, what's good or not?
Yes. And these 6,000 people will tell me. What's interesting is when that whole, I'll call it a thing, was starting, I was thinking, oh, wow, I wonder.
He's a human being.
No, I'm
That's
talking about
callback.
your.
That's a callback.
Great. That's true. Yeah, thing one and thing two. I was thinking I wonder how this will turn into like a Marge versus the Monorail or Music Man scenario. Cause of course it will. This guy comes into town and he sells them a bill of goods, whatever. And then something bad happens. And for you, it's just like, there's not even a buildup to it. It's the thing you sell itself. It directly is bad. They're in this like a torture chamber.
No, they're not.
Their feet are getting stabbed by the little nails of gremlins in a porous groundwork where they're up from underground. That's horrifying. In a concrete prison with no exits while you sit above them in a little glass box watching them air conditioned. It's a classic torture scenario.
The only light is coming from my room.
Yeah, they can see this weird blue haze of light from above them.
They can see
and you're shirtless.
They can see me.
You
check
have headphones.
Out.
You're not even listening to the same music they're listening to. You intend to watch the video footage later. You're just up there relaxing.
If I get to it.
And that's what you would do with music in general.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. What I would do with music is I would have a me directed like all of this. It's all they're talking directly to me, masterclass style thing where you just
talking to you?
Geniuses of music, and they just make music make a little bit more sense to me, so that I could maybe, you know, do more than just play scales kind of.
I feel
fast.
Like you don't want a genius talking to you. I feel you want like just like a regular Joe.
This one's mine. You just had the concrete prison debacle.
It's not
as
a prison,
yours.
Dude. It's an annex building.
I would argue that it should be on World's Toughest Prisons. Just that hurts. And
that hurts me, dude.
And let's leave it at that.
That hurts me. Hospitality. Now, it's not hospitals in Tallahassee.
Mm.
We're talking about hospitality. All right. So make
which
that,
is define that.
Hospitality?
Yeah.
Hospitality is the effort to ensure an environment as well as the individuals in that environment are producing an atmosphere of pleasance and reassurance.
I would actually say that perfectly leads into my five questions.
Oh, okay, go.
Which planet is closest to the sun?
Earth.
What is the biggest animal on Earth?
Me.
Can you define cabin pressure?
Yes.
Why does ice float?
Because it's up.
Why is the sky blue?
Because it's not green.
Oh, because I would have guessed because it's up. Very good. Now, hospitality, and I love your definition of it, and I'm going to stick with it because I almost do think that it was so confusing and jumbled that it's everyone who heard it has forgotten.
Well, it also is what hospitality
is. And it's pretty close. It's enough of the buzzwords. It's almost like
what the fuck is this?
It's almost like a computer wrote it, though, because it's almost like it's all the buzzwords, but they're not in the right order.
I think hospitality has been co-opted by capitalism and by just money in general, where... To be hospitable is a great thing. I think it's a very, very important thing to share things. And it's in the Hebrew scriptures, and it's not they reference that. The angels, et cetera, like that's a big deal to be hospitable.
And that's the same in the Japanese
omekaseru. Like it's in the stories. Abraham like cuts off his pee-pee skin, and then an angel pops up, and the first thing he does after he's like bleeding from the tip is he brings him in. He's like, "You want some tea or some shit?" And like that's how like you know God was like
that is your first reference as we're talking hospitality.
That is because that's
crazy.
That's again in like an OG fable. That's like in the core of like you still got to be hospitable. It doesn't matter.
And I still do think it's a symptom of your broader mental health condition. Yes.
But I think hospitality is a really important thing in relationships and life.
Yes.
It's the best.
It's one of the most important things.
But it's
that
been
there is.
Misused. You show respect to receive respect, right?
Yes.
And then if you go to a restaurant. And everyone's like, "Oh, we're the hospitality industry." No, it's not. You're in the subservience industry.
Uh-huh.
Like, there's a big difference because as long as I'm extending that hospitality, I expect that in return.
Well, and also a lot of the hospitality in the restaurant space can feel so impersonal that it's not in any way real hospitality.
But it's still hospitality. Like you, like granted, like you come into that space. Like obviously, I'm paying for something, whatever. But I'm never assuming. That like you're going to be nice or kind, like I can like you're a human being, like that's an expectation of the environment at large, but who knows, right? But when you go to a restaurant and you're greeted by a host, you're greeted by your server, or if you're in that position to greet, and you get someone who's just fucking insane or on one, I'm always blown away by that, just to see the interaction. Like that's a curation of so many factors of like. Of what we know of like the customer's always right.
Sure.
You know what I mean? I'm like, and that to me is like the destroys hospitality. It's like coming into a space and be like expecting things like from like you know, neighbor's home you get invited to, a friend's home, whatever like that. It's like that to me is like, that's what fucks it all up.
Yep.
You know, and it sucks because I think if you're rude on either side, then it's like, all right, you shouldn't be in here. Like you should go away. Like if you're a rude customer, I feel across the board, you should be able, as a server or anybody, to be like, "Hey, I'm going to ask you nicely to please be nice.
Yeah.
If you're not nice to everybody from here on out, you got to go."
It's the most vile thing you can witness in like a casual setting. The way that people are rude customers.
It's so
nasty.
It's insane. And I also understand everyone's going through shit, Everyone's got stuff they're going through.
Yeah, but and then don't you, when you're going through shit, go like, yeah, I almost defer. I'm almost more quiet and less mean.
Yeah, but I think we're more introspective at times, and we're like, we're aware of like certain things. People maybe not don't have those tools, or maybe don't have the ability at that moment to give themselves the grace to like, you know, think about that shit. So grain of salt with all that. But still, I think if that was the norm, if you can go into spaces and know that like, hey, this person's being rude.
Yeah.
We're going to ask you politely and like respectfully to like, you know, hey, can, you know, here's a little check. Here's a tattletale, if you will.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And then if that behavior continues, like you're going to have to go.
Yeah.
Like this is not the environment anyone wants to be around.
Yeah.
And if you're hangry, tell us you're hangry.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Okay. Come in and be like, I'm really hungry. I'm sorry. I'm on edge. Can I please be sat soon? And I don't mean to be rude, but like, I might come off the way. I'm just hungry as hell. Like,
yeah.
Great. Great. Yeah, let's get you some bread.
Yes, yes.
Here's a stick of butter.
Well, two things have just come to mind. Well, one is that like 6 months ago, or maybe more recently, I think probably about 6 months ago, I read this book by, I think I might be saying his last name wrong, but I think his name is Will Guidara. And he wrote this book called Unreasonable Hospitality. He runs 11 Madison Park, which is a famous restaurant in New York. And I think it was like the best restaurant. I know it was. It was like considered the best restaurant in the world at some point in time. And he just writes this whole thing about how their sort of mission statement was to like provide hospitality at such a level that it's like insane. And he tells this famous anecdote from somewhere in New York. I'm going to just take a guess. I think it was called Tabla, which I think is a famous restaurant there. And they basically did this thing where people came to the restaurant. They were celebrating their anniversary. And when they were telling the staff that they're celebrating their anniversary. And then the husband realized that he had left this bottle of champagne in the freezer at home and it's going to explode. And so one of the staff members says that they will go to the house and take the champagne out of the freezer so that it won't explode on their anniversary. So the guy gives them the key. The server goes there, whatever. He comes back. He says he took it out. Then when this couple goes home, they discover that not only is the champagne put in the fridge with like nice glasses, there's also caviar, chocolates, and a bottle of wine, and a personal note from the restaurant saying, thank you for choosing our restaurant to celebrate your anniversary. And he's like, this is an example of like enlightened hospitality or unbelievable or unreasonable hospitality. And to me, it was like for him, when he heard the story, it was like making the rounds in like the restaurant world in New York as like this insane thing. Or his restaurant then did this thing where when you came in, they would ask if you parked at a meter. And then if you say yes, they would ask where it is. And then they would go and they would feed the meter the entire time that you're there. Just that is a small example of that same thing where it just makes you go like, oh my God, that's wow. Okay.
Those are two different things.
Yes.
Two different things. Feeding the meter, I'm like, yeah, you should. I'm spending like, I'm going to spend probably $600 at this restaurant.
Yeah,
I assume. Yeah. You can, here's the 25 cents.
Yeah, but I figure that. But it is still that touch though that makes you go like,
I appreciate that.
I've never had that happen to me.
I appreciate that because we go to shitty restaurants. But the fact that like, I don't even know if that can't be true. I'm going to give you the keys to my home.
It's referenced. Yeah, but it's in a super high class place. It makes sense to me that there's this other kind of trust.
I would not trust that at all. Like
but you're a paranoid maniac.
Yeah, because I'd be the server who's like hides in the house when they get back.
Yes, you would.
So
yeah. It would be like Bronson. You'd be covered slick in black oil waiting to wrestle.
I just have a shaved head and a mustache. Come on, then let's get it on. That's insane. Of course, like getting the rounds in New York. What's funny about this guy, because he sounds fucking insane.
He is insane. He's really amazing. I actually think you would really like him.
I'm sure I would, but like, I would love to hang out with him, never work for him, never go to his restaurant. I want to drink with this guy.
I feel like he would be good to work for, actually. Well, he has one more of the anecdotes about this guy, though.
Mike,
is that one thing that they do?
He's going to make you go to someone's house and set dress a fucking
caviar.
That
was at Tabla.
Okay, it doesn't matter. Well, now that he's the fucking head dude at this place, it's even crazier. I'm going to have to like do foundational work. You know what I'm saying? Like, No, maybe. No, I'm not.
But I mean, it's this elevated idea of hospitality.
Hold on.
Here's one of the other ones that they do. When they give you the check at this place, they give you your check and then they say absolutely no rush at all. And then they pour a glass of cognac for everyone at the table. And then they leave the full bottle of cognac and say, stay as long as you would like. Help yourself to the cognac. And then, you know, and it was our pleasure to have you here.
Wait, would you have to pay for the cognac?
No, sir.
Oh, man, that's pretty legit.
Yeah, but so it's this other idea, though, where you go like, oh, they're surely not trying to get us to leave because they left this cognac here. Like, that's, you know.
Yeah.
It's these other ideas, though, that change the way that you go like, because what I'm talking about with a lot of hospitality is I think that It feels like it is meant to feel personal, but actually it's totally, it's completely transactional.
Yes, yes, yes.
And sometimes that can feel really bad in like these weird ways that you're not even necessarily consciously aware of. Like I ate somewhere last night and the check came like way before we were asking for it. And then I heard it in this book. I'm listening to the audio version right now. And he mentions that feeling like it makes you feel like you're supposed to leave. And I was there with a friend I hadn't seen in a while, and I was like, oh, what? We have to leave? What the fuck? Well, I would have ordered more food.
The difference is those servers are making six figures.
Yeah, no. Yeah,
and
yeah.
The servers at the restaurant you were at are making, like, this is not their only job.
Yeah. Hey, I left. We left immediately. Yeah. You know, well, I'm not going to, I totally get it.
It's so they want to go home. You know what I mean? They got
my point just being that there are these elements to hospitality, where like actual hospitality, because you're talking about how it's been co-opted, and I agree with you.
But like in that co-op,
yeah, it's the capitalist system that
let
is.
Let me say this in the co-optidation of it all, okay?
Yeah.
That individual server, like, cannot make a livelihood through that, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, but these servers can. So,
yes,
like,
that's true.
And you also are going
to. Well,
like,
that's why I would go. I'm working at this place. I'm at the super fancy restaurant I work
that's
here.
Your career.
If someone's telling me I'm going to go to the house and do this nice gesture.
Yeah, because you know what?
That sounds
fun. You're going to get tipped a grand on that table.
You're right.
So, it's like there's.
That's
like,
a good point.
There's this different incentive. It's all still transactional. The transaction, though, is much higher for the stretch of time that they offer. They're going to make more money off of you if you feel more comfortable and you're there longer, right?
Yeah.
Now, that theory still exists in, like, Applebee's. If you're here longer, you're still going to get, like, another beer with your endless wings.
Yeah.
Right? You're still going to, that check's going to be padded by another $6, right?
Yeah.
But the difference is, hey, while we're getting this cognac, you know what? We actually would like another bottle of wine. That bottle of wine costs $600. You know, all this.
Yeah.
So, it's a different world.
It's a different world. You're
and
right.
And there are mega, mega wealthy people who are able to experience that and, like, you know, do that comfortably and repeat that and, you know, tell their friends, like, you will be treated as exactly we believe we are. Like, that kind of shit.
Uh-huh.
So his theory and his efforts, amazing.
Yeah.
He's getting his fucking bag. He's doing that. And everyone's getting paid out the ass. Like, that's why you're like, I'm there to do this. It's like, hell yes, hell yes. Mm-hmm. But again, like, that's the rub. All right, man, you want to work here? You can. But like this, you are a butler to whomever comes in.
Yeah.
Right? And that's just the job. That's just the job. You're going to get six plus figures.
Uh-huh.
A year. You're going to have two cars in New York.
Here's what I would do with hospitality is because I feel like I completely agree with what you're saying, but I want to live in a world where it's the unreasonable hospitality. That sounds really fun to me. Doing almost being so thoroughly and psychotically and aggressively kind and thoughtful sounds really fun to me. But I think what I want to do is I want to turn it into a horror movie. I mean, it's kind of got tinges of the cable guy, you know, it's someone who won't leave kind of deal.
I know it.
But that's how I find a new, like, father figure in my life. Oh. So we make this a movie. Yeah. I'm looking for a father figure.
You need one.
I'm working at somewhere like 11 Madison Park.
Yeah.
But I'm using all of the unreasonable hospitality in order to get a really good father figure for me.
At the restaurant.
Yeah, like a regular, but now I know where they live, for example.
Yeah.
And so I learn all this stuff about them. But so, yeah, so I'm basically pitching like a coming of age feature film.
Well, they would have to be regulars then.
Yeah,
they have to come in all the time.
Well, I'm going to want my daddy rich.
Sure. So daddy's got to have moolah.
Yeah, in order for me to respect him. I would make a hospitality about me finding a father figure in the form of a script that I'm paid to write and shoot.
I love that, dude. Yeah. That's really sad. This is what I would do about hospitality. I want to go back to hospital tally.
Yeah.
Okay. And I want to change tally, not to Tallahassee, but to actually like a number tally, like 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah. Well, you've had a little more time to think about
it. Yeah, of course. So hospital tally, what the hell is that?
Yeah. You know is what I mean? It like the dead? Are we naming how many people die? Like, what
no,
is the tally?
No, no, we're taking note of how many hospitals.
No, I know. I'm just a janitor who's looking at the tally going like, is that about people who die? I'm not.
So
I don't
you're talking to me? What are you doing? What is this?
I'm sorry.
I don't know what the hell you're a janitor looking at the tally.
Well, because
are you talking to me?
Because
what's happening?
I want to do what you do, which is always negate every single thing that
well,
I say.
Well, you're not negating. You're jumping into the stream, but I don't know what
like,
the fuck you're doing.
I don't want to do the true negation, so I'll just come in as a character and I'm asking, and then I paint a context around it after I ask the question. I apologize.
It's
I shouldn't have said anything.
It's okay to apologize.
I'll bleep all of my stuff out in this section, so it's all totally. You don't hear anything, and it's just you talking.
That's fine. That's all I wanted to be anyway. But like, so you're in a hospital. What? What, your janitor who came in to like even... look at a board that had numbers on it or some shit like
the
that?
The tally. I was a janitor. I was walking down the hallway. There's a little tally. It said hospital tally. I'm looking at it. I'm going, huh.
So tally, you're thinking just like little tassels or is it like a whiteboard? What are you talking
like,
about? But,
you know, it's like little things of five, little scratches of five all going down, little strikes.
Okay, great. So it is a whiteboard.
And I'm going like, oh, okay.
So it's not little pieces of paper strung down.
And I'm just, no, I don't know anything about that.
That's what I'm thinking of a tally.
No, yeah, that's what you're thinking
because
of.
You're a janitor, so I'm thinking you're thinking of a tally.
Oh, because as a janitor, you think I've never heard of tally before.
I don't know. This is your character,
and
Mike.
I'm looking at like a paper mobile and I'm thinking, so that's a tally, just totally out of nowhere. Yeah. I've always wondered what a tally is. I see something, it's a bunch of papers hanging down, and
I'm
go, so that's a tally.
Asking you, is that what you think a tally is as this janitor?
As the janitor. But I'm telling you that for your conditional right now, I'm seated way over here. I'm way out of here. I'm not even involved. You're not even talking to me. All of this, I'm editing up my entire... I'm telling you, just go forward, sir. Tell me about the hospital tally.
Don't ever call me sir. Hospital tally. What the hell is that, right? So you're looking at a hospital and you're thinking, how many are there, right? It can't just be one hospital. Now, I'm not saying multiple different... Oh, you got a St. Michael Hospital or whatever the other, like you know, Our Lady of Hope Hospital, whatever. A lot of Christian Catholic hospitals around this in this area. I'm saying there's this hospital, right? How many more of this hospital are there, right? Yeah, question.
Yeah, I'm just wondering. So in the context of the person who is wondering that.
Are you the janitor?
No, I knew you would think that. No, I'm just me listening to you. And I'm wondering, the person who's looking at the hospital saying, how many are there? Where is that person?
Out front of the hospital.
So they're like in anywhere America and they're standing on a street, not anywhere America, Tallahassee. Oh, we weren't doing Tallahassee. Regardless, a person is standing somewhere in the world and they see a hospital.
In America,
Okay, in America. And they say, I wonder how many there are. Okay, got it. Just trying to make sure I understand. Yeah. Okay.
And they're asking of that hospital.
Yeah.
Right? Of that hospital.
Yeah.
How many more are of that hospital?
So they went in and they asked someone at the front desk or they're standing out there.
No, they're not going to. Dude, those are frontline fucking workers. Yep. Dude. They're not going to disrupt their fucking service, mm-hmm. their hospitality. Uh-huh. They ask how many more are there?
They're not going to disrupt the hospitality to ask about the hospitality.
Right. Exactly. Yep. Because they are like, they're concerned, but they're also professionals themselves.
So they're just asking the building.
No, they're asking themselves.
So they're thinking out loud.
Yeah.
Okay.
How many are there?
Yes.
Of that hospital.
Okay.
Because it's like, is there...
No. I understand the question. So then what comes next?
Well, you got like, is there a hospital? Like, is it kind of like a mirror versus? Is there one below it? Mm. Or is there like another hospital, exact same, one for one, across town?
So this person, be it you or whoever, is having a psychotic break.
Yes.
So they're standing out there and they've just had now the earth-shattering revelation that there might be some kind of mirror universe below that hospital in which it's hospitals all the way
down. And kind of, I understand, Stranger Things? Stranger Things? I'm like,
sure,
yeah,
I wasn't going to say it.
Whatever.
And the Upside Down, yeah, I only saw the first
season. That's not what
I'm
thinking. I said Mirrorverse.
Right. Totally different.
Yeah, different.
It has nothing to do with Doctor Strange or any of that stuff either. It's totally different.
Has he said that?
Well, there's a lot of stuff in the Doctor Strange and the multiverse. Well, he's a magician. Yeah. I know, but I'm saying it has nothing to do with that.
Nothing.
We're just naming things and it has nothing to do with... Damn, dude,
it's
the misspeaks.
Okay. Dude, it's all right.
Yeah, it's just early for me or something. Or it's late in my earliness. I've been awake for too many hours while it's also early.
Yeah.
But I was just going to say, we're just naming those movies and these things. It's not related to them. We're celebrating the end of the strike, which happened 6 months ago at the time that we're recording this.
Get over it. Just get over it.
The temporality, you know, it's an issue. But so that's what you would do. I just want to make sure, just close it up here. What you would do about hospitality is you would have a guy stand in front.
What I would do about hospital tally.
Sure, totally.
I just want to make that clear.
But the subject we're talking about is hospitality.
Yeah.
But what you would do is have a guy stand in front of a hospital.
I would stand there.
Okay, it's you. You would stand in front of a hospital and have and have a psychotic break.
Yeah.
Okay, moving right along. This one is really near and dear to my heart. I think about it literally every single time someone offers me some of this. Chewing gum.
You think about chewing gum when someone offers you a piece of gum.
Yeah, I do.
I get that.
No, that's real. Because what I'm saying is I think chewing gum directly and negatively affects my personality. I think it makes me almost unbearable to be around.
Are you like open mouth chewer? Like you don't... Well, here we go.
I'm like chewing it and I'm kind of just going like, I don't like that guy. You know, it's almost like it affects my personality
gives
in a weird way.
Gives you an edge.
But it also makes me almost feel like I have to speak. You know, it makes me feel like I'm a baseball player and I'm sitting in the dugout and I'm saying something mean about the guy in the other dugout.
All right. That's weird.
Like, it makes me feel compelled to shit talk, basically.
Oh, that's interesting. I don't, when I'm chewing gum, I'm like, don't talk because I'm going to bite my tongue.
Yeah, but I like to live on that razor's edge.
I don't, dude. I don't. I love to chew gum when I'm doing any like physical tasks, like working out or writing or something like that. Yeah, because it's like a, it's
maybe I just haven't found one I like. What do you like?
Orbit is pretty good. Keeps flavor a long time.
Is Orbit Dirty Mouth?
Yeah.
Is that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A very retro kind of graphic on it.
Yeah.
Very fun. It was popular in the 2000s.
Yeah.
You know, when that like
I feel 70s like I wish I could find a flavor that I crave.
I really like that the zebra gum, whatever the fuck that was.
Yes, yeah, but of course zebra stripe, but of course it doesn't last. Oh, it lasts for 14 seconds. But I try to be really you know, quick to spit out gum. That's one of my main things. The second that it doesn't taste fucking amazing, it's gone.
No, I'm truly using it for the purposes of just like to chew something like while I'm doing it. So like I'm trying to get that jaw workout while I'm working out.
Yeah, you ever had ginger chews?
No, ginger chews. Yes. But they're not gum. That's not gum.
No. But it's close. It's like it's something that satisfies my oral fixation.
Yeah, the thing that I hate about those kind of candies is that like the molasses or whatever the fuck it is, it gets stuck into like the nooks and crannies of your teeth. You really got to work to open that mouth.
Yeah.
It's not fun.
Oh, man. The other day I was thinking about when I was a kid and I would take a Jolly Rancher and I loved Jolly Ranchers.
I would bite down
on it in like my molar section. But not bite all the way.
Yeah, just to hold it.
But I kind of like get it there. And then I remember the sensation of then trying to open your mouth and it's like almost stuck together. Really scary.
I realized I had uneven teeth when I would try to get Jolly Ranchers and put them perfectly on either side of my mouth and be like, no.
They won't hold. So you were a little scientist with it.
I was a little scientist with it, a little dental scientist.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Honestly, a Wally Wallerson or whatever. Wallington. Yeah, but it probably started there for him as well.
Probably.
You know?
I mean, who knows? We don't know his origin story. We do know how I die.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a story for another time.
I just feel like with gum, I almost wish that they had perfected it a little bit more at this
point. They can't, dude. They know.
Like, give me that everlasting gobstopper.
No, dude, then you're not going to buy another pack, you dumbass.
But I just, that's what I so desire.
I want that. Everyone wants an endless gum.
Yeah.
Everyone wants that.
But also a flavor that's, like, amazing. Like, because recall that the everlasting gobstopper, its flavor changes.
Yeah. So, but look, we already know that they invented a tire that never goes flat.
Yeah.
Right? We already know.
For the moon.
Well, for us too.
For Mars.
And then they
I think.
Fucking shot in the fucking.
Yeah.
And then we also know that you can have cars that run on water. Do I want that? No, but that's a cool thing. We also know that there's computers that are actual like human beings.
Oh, I hadn't heard that.
We know that too. And we also know that you can get like different kind of like stuffed animals, right? And with a certain kind of spell, turn them real and they'll be your best friend forever. So they're trying to hide all of this shit from us. They're never going to give us the stuff that we really want to need. So that's a fucking fact, my guy. Yeah. Right? So the idea that we're going to get that gum, that ain't going to happen.
I'm sorry that I said I want that.
No, you should want that. And we should have it.
I'm sorry then that apology wasn't enough to stop the whatever.
You shouldn't apologize.
Whatever started this imperious tone, I am sorry for that.
You shouldn't apologize.
Yeah.
Okay? Because it's not your thing to be sorry for.
Then I don't apologize. I take it back and I didn't mean it. I was just trying to make it stop. Now, do you associate gum with any sort of point in your life? Gum to me reminds me of being on the baseball team in grade
school. Definitely. I mean, like Big Chew.
That's where it all really begins because that was a really fun one.
Great Big Chew was awesome. It was like, what a fun way to get people addicted to tobacco later.
Yes. Oh, no, exactly. It's so familiar. Oh, yeah, I remember the first time I saw chewing tobacco, I was like, oh, it's like the exact same thing.
Let me try it.
It's literally, you're right. It is preparation. It's a little bit of training.
It's pretty insane. It's pretty awesome. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's like candy cigarettes.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's like really fun that they did that. And they allowed that.
What was the one bubble tape? Something
yeah,
like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
I love that. Oh that was God. Fun and a fun flavor
Six
as well.
6 feet of gum?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, that's a lot of gum. And then the people who would take the whole thing on just like,
yeah. You do that once in your life.
Yeah, and you're like, I'm good.
You go, that was a mistake.
Yeah, because you unhinged your jaw.
I went too far.
Point. That's not. There are so many different types of gummies out there.
Yeah.
So many different types of chew as well.
I'm going to try and take a real swing back into gum.
Good for you.
I'm going to give it a shot.
They do have these. I got, what's that, Stripe or five, whatever the fuck it's called. There's like a, anyway, the packs of gum now come in these like cigarette case, plastic cigarette holders.
Oh.
Like you pop the top and it's like a sturdy case. And
fun.
You know, it's like a little more gum inside of it. It's legit. You do feel elevated.
Okay.
It's nice. I'll say it's nice.
I'm going to get to Googling. I'm going to Google best gum flavors and really begin.
Oh, my God. Did you go in like a little deep dive with that? We'd love to see that journey on your Instagram.
That's really nice. We'd love to see that journey. Thank you so much.
This is what I would do about chewing gum. Mm-hmm. I'd like to have a machine that can chew the gum to a place where the flavor is gone, the elasticity is done, and then at that point, I can then chew the gum. Because at the end of the day...
What's the size of the machine?
I'd say like 4 or 5 suitcases.
High?
No, like if you squish
together. It's sort of like if you squish together 4 to 5 suitcases. Medium-sized suitcases, like in a way bag?
Yeah, like a checked bag.
Sure, like okay, check, yeah.
Like a checked bag.
So something,
60-pound bag.
Something that cannot weigh... No, I think 50 is the amount.
Well, then I'm paying extra for it.
Yeah, okay. So it can be within the range of having to pay extra.
Oh, it is.
As far as the size goes.
Buddy, it is.
And you want 5 of those.
Yeah, 4 or 5.
And that machine chews the gum.
Till the flavor is gone, till the elasticity is done.
Now, doesn't the moisture in our mouth have something to do with getting the flavor out of there?
Yeah, then I spin to the machine every time it opens its mouth.
So, okay, so you have this... wall size. Let's say a wall size machine that chews up your gum.
That can travel, though.
You're standing there and you're spitting into the gears quickly, that are though, chewing.
Every time it opens up, I gotta spit.
Oh, so it's moving pretty fast? Like it's basically like
it's
a human
chewing,
mouth?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. And you're going, and you're spitting. And just to make sure that you're not getting the gum flavor.
Right, yeah.
All this to avoid just doing that part yourself.
Well, I'm like, I'm sick and tired of having that expectation and then like endorphin release and then like, you know, crash. It's like...
let me get right to the bad part.
Come on, just give it to me.
Can I skip that good part, please?
Get to the bad already? That's all I want.
Now, what I would do, I think it's going to make you mad.
Okay.
But I'm going to want that everlasting gobstopper that never changes flavor, that never loses flavor and changes flavor the entire time I'm eating it.
Okay.
I know a certain guy took a certain tone about that when I said it before, but it's still...
You can want that. I'm not mad at that.
It's still what I want. Well, actually, you told me I should want that.
You should.
And you told me not to apologize for it. So actually, I own it. I love it. And I cannot wait to see Timothée Chalamet play Willy Wonka.
Because we can talk about it.
Because we can finally talk about the things we're excited about.
I'm excited.
We're free. Well, let's get into some conditionals.
I have bad news for you.
Why must I be tortured again by all this?
It might be a strange idea, but it's mine.
So, here we go.
You're able to choose from one of two powers to have in the real world.
I choose them both.
It's either, you're either in a world of the powers from Star Wars, so there's lightsabers, you got the Force.
Yeah, but I don't guarantee that I have that shit.
No, you would. I'm not saying that the whole world has. I'm saying you yourself get it.
Dope.
Okay?
Okay.
It's either one of those, and you're either going to be a good guy, or you're going to be a baddie, you're going to be a Sith.
Sure, yeah.
Or you get powers from the Harry Potter universe, and you're either a goodie or a baddie. Which do you choose?
God, dude, these both suck as choices, because the first one, the Jedi one, I have to fucking believe in this religion for it to like pop off. Okay?
Yeah.
You're asking me to be a devotee to like a theocracy that I don't give a shit about. The second one you're asking me to do is study my ass off to do it, because it's not just like an innate thing that like a point of wanting to figure it out. Yeah. I gotta learn it's like fucking pig Latin and say this random shit, and then I gotta learn potions and all that crap.
Yep.
So I have to go to school again.
Yeah, it's all gonna require an enormous amount of work.
As a
37-year-old,
I gotta go to school again with all these fucking kids who are better at this than
honestly,
me.
I would, and I'm sure the listeners will agree with this, I would watch a movie that is basically Billy Madison, but it's you and you're at Hogwarts.
God damn, dude.
I would watch that film.
And everyone's British and shit?
Yeah, and they are, no one is charmed by you at all.
No, man, no.
And you're so bad at Quidditch. And it like really chaps
and
your
ass. And I'm doing like some hard fouls.
Yeah, you're doing hard fouls on basically high school teenagers. You're doing hard fouls on them in the air on an umbrella, on a broom.
They're falling half a mile down.
Yeah.
I'm cross-checking kids.
Yeah.
They're changing the rules.
You're bad guy Billy Madison at Hogwarts, and you're bad at school.
I guess I'd choose Hogwarts because of all the fun candy I get on that train and shit.
Yeah. So just for the one time, or I guess let's say 4 times a year that you're on that train.
I get that candy. Yeah. That's what I'm about.
That's smart.
Couldn't give a fuck about the Voldemort thing. And I also...
Yeah, when that's all popping off, you're what the fuck?
And then like...
That's when you really get to cheating on all the tests, though.
Well, also, I'm like, so we're just not going to shoot this guy in the fucking head? That's the one thing I'm going to keep on. I'm like, just shoot the guy.
And I was like,
we have to use the magic. It's the only way. I'm like, you really can't shoot him in the stomach and like beat the shit of him? Like,
honestly,
he's a fucking...
This shows that you have too much faith in human mechanics.
Damn right I do, man. Yeah. They got a little stick... That shoots out endless power. You know what I got? I got 2 fucking fists and a push-up machine in my chest, buddy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Have those motherfucking Death Eaters come at my door. Let's see what goes down. Oh, I know that big dude that looks like Sabretooth is also on the team. He's got
that cupboard
that you can go into and transport yourself and all that shit. But you know what they don't got? Let me tell you some of those magicians what they don't got, okay? Yeah. They don't got that squat. They don't got that press, okay? Because everything goes into the fact that I got a fucking snake I can talk to or a fucking hippogriff that I can fly on top of. Sure. No one's walking around. No one's doing the Humey shit that we got to do. Dude, we're badass, okay? They think we're subservient to that, bud. If I break your fucking stick, you got nothing on me, dude. You got nothing on me. And yeah, I'm breaking sticks.
I thought you were going to pick the Star Wars powers.
No, man. Fuck that shit. Yeah. I get to go over there to like foggy old London town and start knocking skulls
around.
Was
that actor the guy who did play Sabretooth in the first X-Men movie?
No, that was Liev Schreiber.
No, it was not. No. Liev Schreiber is Sabretooth. Only... Yeah, no, that's only in Wolverine.
Oh, gotcha.
In the original, it was someone else. They did that thing where they didn't know the character was going to be needed later on.
Yeah, they're like, better get a name.
Yeah, they're like, we better get... I think it's pronounced Liev. I'm probably wrong.
Well, who knows? You're a little rat. Okay, you're a little rat, and you're running around, okay, and you get into, like, a whole bunch of cheese, and you're having the time of your life.
Oh, yeah.
As you're eating the cheese, you hear, no, no. Right, and you look over, and you realize the cheese is actually a cheese man.
Oh,
you're eating
fuck.
The cheese man, but this is the best cheese you've ever had in your life. The cheese man's telling you, please stop eating me. I'm a cheese man.
Mm.
What do you do?
I just eat it up, because he's all the evidence. You know, it's all the evidence right there.
Yeah,
so I'm going to eat
him talk.
Eat them all up. Yeah, because I already started. There's no way he's not going to tell people when they see that he's been, whatever, disemboweled or
finish
whatever kind of organs he has.
Finish him up.
Yeah, I'm just going to say, I'm just going to eat all the evidence. No cheese man, no crime.
That's right.
Okay, before I get into this one, let me say, is there one Olympic sport you find just insanely boring?
Most of them.
Pick one.
Damn, dude. Fucking... I can't even think of one. They're all so boring.
Okay, let's say...
I guess, like, hurling.
Badminton.
No, hurling's, like, stupid and fun.
Oh, okay. So, badminton.
Let's say badminton.
You're a badminton prodigy.
Let's go.
Tell me about your... Like, what is your personality as a badminton prodigy? Like, you're on the Olympic
Toxic.
Stage. Toxic. Yeah, yeah.
Dude, I'm king shit of a sport that no one gives a fuck about.
Yeah.
I don't even get the best sponsors.
Yeah,
you know
yeah.
what I mean? Like, I'm making, like... 30K a year
yeah,
being
yeah.
a pro badminton player. Like,
yeah, you're a substitute teacher as well.
It's not the life, you know what I'm saying? But like, dude, I am sick. And yeah, every 4 years, I get to be in like an annex arena that, you know, 10 to 15 people are watching me crush, mm-hmm. right? Yeah, that's fun.
And you're like the greatest of all time.
Yeah,
with
I
this.
Know. I know I am. But still, I don't get an Oakley sponsorship. I don't get a Nike sponsorship. It sucks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Honestly, your second act, but do you ever retire or do you just play until you die?
I play until I die, but yeah. I die when I'm like 50 or something.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say that I think that the Netflix documentary about it is that you also have this whole side life of crime.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, as the badminton guy.
I'm a mustard thief.
Yeah.
I just steal, but not the actual liquid, just the seeds.
Yeah.
So I destable a whole mustard industry.
Sure.
That's what I'm about.
Yeah, yeah. I'd watch the doc.
You should.
Thank you.
All right. You're at a FedEx Kinko. Remember, they merged.
Mm.
Okay. You're looking to print something out. You go to ask somebody at the kiosk, the little table over there, and they're like, excuse me, I want to print this out. They go, the machines are right over there. You go over to the machines. As you open the machine, you put the paper down, right? And you press the top down again. You press print. What comes out is not what was scanned, but is actually a foreshadowing of what can happen to you. This machine is a fortune teller. Holy shit, you press it again. It's telling you another thing that could happen. All these things you know to be true. Things are very personal to you. It's just like you just know in your bones. You're looking around like, what the fuck is this, a prank? You print another page, another thing, right? Now this machine is there. You come back again the next day, does the exact same thing, right? You have become addicted to like using this machine as a fortune telling device, all right? Now every time you heed its advice, things change, obviously. Like your life, whatever. Like you get the promotion or like
I love
you
get it.
The next, et cetera, et cetera. What do you do with this machine? How do you navigate your life?
Well, we've actually stumbled on something amazing here, and I genuinely love when this happens. This is almost verbatim an episode of The Twilight Zone.
Really?
Yeah, like almost exactly identical. I mean, other than it being a copy machine or whatever. It was one of the earliest episodes. It's literally William Shatner, and he's like recently married, and it's this little fortune thing like at a diner where you like twist some knob and then the thing comes out and it like was their fortune, and they become you hit all the beats. Like they become like obsessed with it. They go back every day. It does change their life, you know, all these sorts of things. And then I can't remember. I think the ending, in a typical Twilight Zone fashion, they're kind of like just there, like almost trying to plead with the machine, you know, like going like, please free us, you know, like as we get a nice pull out.
Yeah, they don't live their life anymore. They're like,
What I would do is I would just go like, this is awesome. And I would have no problems with it whatsoever. And I would just follow it. I would always look at it and go like, oh, okay, interesting. Well, I also just go, a lot of the times, the way something like that or like Black Mirror will make something a curse, I go, that's just kind of a matter of perspective.
Sure.
It's totally fine. It's totally fine to have that. I would love to have a little cheat sheet. I look at it and go, oh, okay, great. I won't ride the subway today.
That's
then.
Good to know.
Yeah, it's all great. It's just a nice little, it's like check-ins. It's like doing my New York Times connections every morning. You know, just go check and take
never,
a look. And
never
I go,
done one.
Oh, they're extremely fun and addicting. I love them. You are in a castaway scenario. Okay. You are stranded on an island, but you have, it's almost like the start of a video game though, where you're able to pick what object you're going, like how he has Wilson, the ball.
Yeah, okay.
You, I don't know what I said in there that sounded like that. I can't wait to find out. But you get to pick what that item will be. So what will the item be that you're going to have this kind of like psychological connection with? And then like, give me sort of like the narrative of what occurs with that object.
It's a fleshlight.
Which honestly, if fleshlights were around at the time of Wilson, I think it probably, if the writers really cared about the character, they would have given him a fleshlight. That's really interesting. Does it have a name?
Of course it does.
But that's private.
It's Brian.
Brian. Brian the fleshlight. And that's like your... And it's Brian Wilson from the Beach Boys. That's really interesting. I think that's how your brain has to be working there for it to be
it's
Brian.
It's a non-sexual relationship.
Yeah. Oh, you don't do anything with the fleshlight.
No, it's my buddy Brian. It's my only fucking friend, asshole. Yeah.
So do you turn it on its side so it looks like a mouth and you're talking to Brian? That you give him little eyes that are like little coconuts or something?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. So you build a whole sort of body out of the fleshlight where the fleshlight itself, Brian, is the mouth. But then eventually it becomes the entire mm-hmm. thing.
Yeah, because I use like... fish bones. And
yeah,
like,
and you're tying it all together with twine. Yeah.
And he's a little taller than me.
Yeah. Oh, that's kind, actually. Yeah. That's kind. Mm-hmm. That's great.
Good
and then, but
mine.
You, and
good
does it, that's awesome. Does it follow the same trajectory as Tom Hanks' relationship with Wilson? Like, does he lose Wilson on the water? Spoiler alert. Like, oh, wow. The look in your eyes tells me
Brian and I never
you haven't
separate.
Processed this.
Brian and I never separate.
He's, okay. He's well, where's friend. Brian now?
He's at work.
That's awesome.
He's at work right
now. No, that's
now.
Actually awesome.
Yeah.
That's actually awesome.
He runs a Fortune 500.
That's sick.
Yeah, it's a car. It's a Fortune 500.
Yeah, I'm not digging in any more
it's
on that.
It's a car.
That's awesome. He runs a car? That's awesome. That's awesome. So he's a driver.
No. He runs a car. It's a Fortune 500. He runs a Fortune 500. You understand that?
The car. Sure.
Yes.
Okay.
You dumb?
Okay, let's hear your last one.
All right. You have an opportunity to stick your feet in a... pint of chocolate ice cream or vanilla, which you choose.
I actually think, you know what? I actually think that's a good question. I would say we all choose vanilla.
Yeah.
Probably.
I love it. I think because it feels cooler.
Well, it feels like if it gets into like the crevices of your nails, it matters less.
It's not going to look like duty.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's what it is for me is it's more like just the visual element of what it looks like in my toes.
I get that.
Yeah. And thank you for making me describe that and visualize both colors on my toes.
You're welcome.
Okay. Goodbye.
Bye.